Yes, sir.
Am I right, Brother Sam?
Right.
Huh? Yeah, I'm marching this way. Halt! There's a stop. Okay, I gotta stop. Now, what's my next command? Repent. I'm turning around.
Right.
I'm not going the same direction.
Right.
Right.
Hey, come on now. And then say, halt, confess. What do you want me to confess? No. Repent.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's what the scripture says. Confession is made unto salvation and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You got to repent. You got to turn around. Now, God, I'm not going that way any longer. I'm not going to do that any longer. With your help, with your mercy, with your grace, you got to give me the strength. You got to lead me. You got to guide me. I can't walk on this road all by myself. My nature wants to go this way, but I know that you don't want me going there. My nature, my carnal man wants to go. No. When I repent, I'm not going the same way. I'm not doing the same thing, sir.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, confession is part of that. Understand that. Yes. I'm not throwing confession out the window, but confession has been made salvation. It's been made the only salvation. But boom, you're done. You're saved. And may I even say at this point that even after confession, repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, of which I'm all done, doesn't make me saved. Because I can fail at any time.
Ain't none of us saved.
Right.
Boy, some of y'all don't tell me I'm
saved. I'm telling you, you're not saved.
Right.
You're still walking in shoe wet leather. You're still breathing dirt. You're still as big a dirt ball as you ever were.
Right.
You still have the potential to fall.
Right.
And if you don't stay in the good graces of the Almighty and walk circumspectly before Him and don't lean on Him every step of the way. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your strength. If you don't keep walking with Him, you're not going to be able to do this by yourself. You can't make it on your own. As much as we think we are strong, as much as we think we know,
yes.
Knowledge ain't never saved anybody.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Yes. His point was Stephen. Solomon, the wisest man, was an idiot. He had more than one wife.
Yes.
That is plain stupidity.
Yeah.
Period.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Sister Regan?
Yeah. My wife said, if there was ever another, they would die immediately, if not sooner.
Yeah. There's no wisdom in that. For the Lord even said, don't have many wives, don't have many horses, don't have many chariots. And he had a whole row full of Rolls Royces, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Mercedes, what's that, whatever. I say Mercedes.
Don't get me wrong.
He had four platinum trucks, too.
Mm-hmm.
He had a whole bunch of them. There, so you all can get all bent out of shape over me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I named your car,
and you were in trouble. You and your Audis.
He had all these things. God spoke to him and said, don't do, but yet he was the wisest man on earth. He builded forces, he builded lakes, he was the wisest man, and yet he was so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
All these wives he let in, how many, what was it, 300 wives and 900 concubines?
700 concubines?
He
had 1,000 wives.
1,000 wives, okay, here we go.
Woo!
1,700. Talk about a mess. What a deal, Brother Josh. It's hard enough for me to take care of one. Much less 1,700. Oh, man. That's an idiot.
Yeah.
That's some wisdom. That's some wisdom in certain things. But just
because he was the wisest man, that doesn't mean anything at all. So just because you know, that's what I'm getting to.
That's good. I'm going track. Yeah. Now I'm going back. Just because you know something doesn't mean you're going to be okay.
Right.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of us that know what this word of God says,
but we ain't doing it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Grab that Bible of yours. Where's your Bible? You done with the hell. You got your Bible? Just because you got that, I stand up there. Oh, you're going to give it to me? Take his Bible. Saved by your friend. Don't forget that you owe him.
Just because you have that Bible in your hand don't mean nothing.
Just because you can read it doesn't mean anything. Just because you know what it said doesn't mean you're going to be saved.
Yes, sir.
But sometimes we get that idea.
Well, I know what the Bible says.
I know it says this. I know it says that. I know.
Yes. That means you're going to be saved.
Yes.
Remember, saved is a finished product. Huh? Yes. What happens when you step over the threshold?
Praise the Lord.
Help me, Jesus. Uh-huh.
What's going to happen when you step over the threshold and you land in the glory world or another world? Yeah. What's going to happen then?
I hate clocks. Except when I'm working. Oh, I'm working. That's right, I'm working right now.
So I'm going into overtime. Let me finish real quick. Tongues is classified in two different ways, according to function. Speak in other tongues as the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is number one. Speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance is that emphatic manifestation that God has given to us as a definite, indisputable, supernatural witness of being baptized with His Spirit. I won't take you to the scriptures. If you want to write them down because you don't trust me, I don't care. Don't matter to me. I'm just going to give you three. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. Acts chapter 19, verse number 6. Tell this emphatically. They began to speak other tongues when they were filled with the Holy Ghost.
I really don't understand why nobody would want this.
Right.
Why nobody would want this supernatural of the Almighty.
Right.
It was prophesied that this was happening. That this would happen in Isaiah, as in the rest of the word in Jeremiah, there's other places, there's a whole bunch of other places. But just for one, that the scripture in Isaiah said, Isaiah 28 and verse number 11 and 12, foretold that this would be the rest and the refreshing. That this Spirit that would come and indwell in us would be rest and refreshing.
Some of us are not resting.
The reason why is because we're not spending time in the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Right,
we're not refreshed in our spirit. We're glum, we're gloomy, we're sad, we're downtrodden, we're beat up because we're not being refreshed in the Spirit of God. Yeah. So Jesus, it was foretold by Jesus as a sign that would follow believers. We already read that in Mark 16 and 17. Like unto some of the other gospels that write of the same thing. And it was to be experienced by both Jews and Gentiles alike. Guess what? I'm not a full-blooded Jew. You know what that makes me? A Gentile. I'm a nobody.
Right.
So are you.
Right.
Ain't none of us.
That's right.
A Jew. So we're all Gentiles. So, no, I'm not. I'm African American. I'm Hispanic American. I'm German American. I'm Italian American. I'm Portuguese American. I never could figure that out. Wait a second. Were you born in Africa? Were you born in Spain? Were you born in Germany? No, my descendants were, but I'm an American. Period. Plain and simple.
Right.
Right.
You born in America, you be an American.
Yeah, right.
Very cool. Yeah. Really cool. You born in America, Brother D?
Yes, sir.
So what are you?
I'm an American.
You an American? Well, nice to meet you, American. Me too. They want to know if something else is even cooler than that? Then we'd be brothers.
Right, yeah.
Right? Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're brothers. And we're more than brothers just because we're American. There was something that happened to him on one day and happened to me on one day. I got baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
So you got born in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
I did too. Man, we were closer than what we thought. I got born in the Spirit one day, 1989. I was going to say 98. I was like, wait a second, I didn't have the Holy Ghost very long. 1989, I got the Holy Ghost. When did you get the Holy Ghost?
1995.
You were born of the Spirit in 1995. I was born of the Spirit in 1989. Guess what? We be brethren. We be brethren more than we're just Americans. We've been born of the water and of the Spirit together. And now no longer does he have a culture and do I have a culture.
Yes.
But now we've been born into the kingdom of God. Therefore, our culture is the kingdom of God's culture. It isn't Hispanic culture. It isn't black culture. It isn't German culture. It ain't Chinese culture. It ain't no other culture but the culture of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And that's why the church is beautiful, because it is beautiful in all of the array of color.
No longer have this ethnicity everywhere and all sorts of things. No, because we all have been born into the same kingdom.
Amen.
So that idea, and this is where this really gets me, is you know where the segregation really still is? Segregation is really still in churches.
Right.
Yes.
You got the Filipino church, you got the Asian church, you got the black church, you got the this church, you got the that church, you got that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not in this church.
Right.
Yes. Because we got the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Right.
I said this is the kingdom of God. And it was built for the Chinese. It was built for the Filipino. It was built for the Russian. It was built for the Hispanic. It was built for everybody. This is the kingdom of God. But how do you get into this kingdom? You gotta be born into it. You gotta be born into this kingdom. So the second thing, the gift of tongues is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And let me, and 12, 13, 14, it's intermixed in there. Let me remind you of something. When you read anything beyond the book of Acts, read your Bible. Acts is the history of the church.
Right.
You can find the founding of the church at Corinth in the book of Acts. You can find the founding of all those churches, Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonica, which is Thessalonians, Ephesus, which is Ephesians, Colossians, which is Colossae, so on. Got it?
Right.
Okay. If you go back and you start reading your Bible, you go through every one of those letters, it's to a church that has already experienced repentance, baptism, and filling of the Holy Ghost. They've already experienced these things. So when Paul speaks, when Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth, they already have the Holy Ghost. They already are baptized in Jesus' name. They already believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They got it. But they started letting this Holy Ghost thing get out of control, because there's a difference between Holy Ghost as the initial evidence of you having his Spirit and the gift of tongues.
Right.
There's a difference. Because the gift of tongues, let me lay it out here for you just real quick. The scripture said that there are diverse kinds of tongues.
Paul mentions it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, concerning which we have somewhat, I will say it like this, a regulation, diverse types of tongues or gifts of tongues. He mentions it again in 1 Corinthians 14, the whole chapter there, and he delineates between the Holy Ghost as in self-edification, speaking in other tongues, where you would, where I do, we did in that place of prayer, and we're speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and when we walk out of that place, man, we're supercharged.
Right.
You're feeling good. You feel like, man, come on, devil, let's go.
Right.
You may have went into that prayer session not feeling like you could take on the devil, but when you came out of it full of the Holy Ghost, you were like, watch out, I'm going to knock you in the head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you ain't experiencing that enough, I can tell. You're like one. You look like a zombie. So that's for self-edification. I gotta be careful. Self-edification is there. But then he talks about in the same chapter and verse number 4, and then he talks more about it in verse number 27 and 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, this is for the edifying of the church. Or this is for the building up of the church. So when we gather together and the gift of tongues is used, there's oftentimes a public message that is spoken and that needs to be interpreted. Since this gift can be misused in public, it needs to have its proper guidelines, which Paul did in verses 23 through 28. Because there have been instances where there's been people that thought that they were so spiritual. There was a story of these two ladies. One lady sat on this side of the church. I'm not, oh, I better be careful. Okay, there's one lady sat over here and one lady sat over here. And these ladies had a problem with each other. And they would get up and they would prophesy against each other. And they got to doing it back and forth one day. And finally one lady said, thus saith the Lord, get thee off of thine high horse before I knockest thee off of thine high horse. You really think that was a guy?
Right.
So all they were doing was fighting with each other and trying to make it look spiritual.
Right.
And Paul said, whoa, we got to stop that nonsense. That ain't happening. Because the carnal nature of us all is to want to make ourselves more spiritual than somebody else.
Right.
Come on, at least give me a good Baptist nod.
Yeah.
Give me some. Every one of us want to be portrayed as more spiritual than we really are.
Right. Amen.
And that's why this is a supernatural gift of God that is to be done in the church. And if you'll go back and you'll look, you'll notice that it says it's for the edifying of the body.
Right.
So every time you don't do what God is telling you to do, when it comes to tongues and interpretation, you are ripping the body off.
How does that make you feel? Make you a pit in your stomach and go, ooh.
You are ripping the body off of edification. You're ripping the body off. You are hurting the body. Then the other purpose of it is so that the unbeliever would believe. And so now you're not only ripping the body off, but now you're ripping the unbeliever off, because now they don't believe.
Gifts that operate within that gift.
Right. The Spirit.
Right.
So there's two separate things. I hope. Now, if you still have some questions, you can come to me later and we'll go over a much deeper, more in-depth Bible study, okay? But not all believers exercise the gifts of the Spirit. Not everybody's going to have the gifts of tongues. Not everybody's going to have the gifts of interpretation, or the gifts of healing, or the gifts of miracles. Not everybody's going to have those gifts, but everybody is going to be born again of the Spirit because Jesus said so. So you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because that's something totally different than operating in the gifts of that Spirit. They're in that same chapter. Would you stand? They're in that same chapter. Why in the world would Paul say, forbid not to speak with tongues, if he was telling them, all right, y'all, stop it. He said, forbid not to speak in tongues. You got to speak in tongues. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah.
And then he even said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. But he didn't say, in the aspect of the gifts and the operations of the Spirit, he said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. What he was saying, I am constantly in the realm of the Spirit, being filled with His Spirit, being fully touched, overwhelmed, filling, overflowing with God's Spirit. I'm continually getting myself to a place where I'm filling myself up with God's Spirit. Self building up. Why? Because on this side they're trying to kill me. On this side they're trying to threaten me. Over here I'm running for my life, just trying to preach this gospel, and I can't do it on my own. But I'm compelled of the Spirit to keep going on.
Right.
Right.
And I realize I can't do it on my own.
Amen.
Right.
And so the question is asked, have tongues ceased?
There's people that want to say that. Oh, well, that was for them back there. Really?
No.
What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? First of all, I can tell you from personal experience, it hasn't ceased.
Right, amen.
You come way too late to sell me that nonsense.
Right.
Well, that was only for them back then. Whoa, hold on a second. What I got, I didn't get on my own.
That's right.
And I can tell you, I'd be a demon if I didn't have what I have.
Amen.
I can't do this on my own. Somebody else said, you are a demon already. I saw somebody who looks like a priest. Yeah. Well, you need more of that Holy Ghost, don't you? Yeah, I probably do. Some of my honoriness slips out every once in a while. Scripture said, charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. See right there, preacher, it said tongues are going to stop. Read the rest. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What you're saying, if you're going to say that tongues are going to cease, and they're out of the picture, and it's no longer, then there's no more love either, there's no more prophecies either. And you tell some of those guys, the big name preachers, that tongues is done. But then you say, well, prophecies will cease too, because that's in the same scripture. They go, oh, no. You know why? Because they want to be the big name preacher. They want to be the big prophet. They want to have the accolade. You know what? There's times I wish I wasn't a preacher, because there's a lot of stress.
Right.
There's a lot of pressure that goes with this.
Right.
I don't go walking around.
Bishop, are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Try to be something you ain't.
Right.
Well, they want this big title, this big name. They want to throw some things out of the book, but they want to keep some things in there because it adds to their pride and their prestige and who they are.
Right.
Well, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, my friend.
Right.
Wrong reasons. Verse number 9 said, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. All of these things are in part. The fullness of it is not yet here, given. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. when that which is perfect is come, when he comes riding, what's that song? When he's come, man, when he's come, this Holy Ghost, we won't have to,
you know, what we got down here right now, what we have in part, this Holy Ghost is only part.
Part.
Come on now, this Holy Ghost is just part.
Right.
This love that we feel of God is only in part. The prophecy that we have is only in part. Got it?
Right.
And it's only a part. We don't know the fullness there is, because the Bible said, "I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the good things." The good things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. We can't even think. We can't even imagine. We can't comprehend. But while we're here, we have it in part. I have a little bit of heaven through the power of the Holy Ghost here right now. But honey, there's a day that part is going to be done away with.
Amen.
And so, shall we ever be with the Lord. And so, shall we ever be with the Lord? Until then.
What did your neighbor say?
Until then.
Until
then, you must. Until then, you must have the Holy Ghost. Until then, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Until then. But there's coming a day, Brother Venus.
There's coming a day.
There's coming a day.
And it's going to be soon.
Yes, sir. It's going to be soon. I believe it's sooner than what we can think. Our finite minds can't even imagine all the things that God set up.
Are you full?
Have you received since you believe?
Hallelujah, my God.
I'm telling you, tongues ain't ceased.
Right.
The infilling of the Holy Ghost wasn't for them back then. It's for here. It's for now. It's for you. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. For these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not done away with, friend. I don't care what, and he said, "Well, I don't understand this. How can the televangelists, every one of them that I watch, first of all, you better be careful what you're watching."
Right.
I sure did.
Effeminate will not be saved.
Right.
Yes.
I don't care if they want to call it an alternate lifestyle or whatever they want to coin it as, and they want to put two guys hanging out together. I don't care. Or two girls hanging out together. I don't care. I don't care how deviant this world gets. The Bible said.
Right.
The Bible said. And so far, we live in a free country. So far. So far. So far, they haven't censored the pulpit. But when they do, we'll still preach it.
Amen.
I said, when they do, we'll still preach it. Because who are we to obey, God or man? When it comes to this work, who are you going to obey? Some of you are scared to death of the government. And you ought to be scared to death of God.
Amen.
You ought to have some fear of God that says, you know what? What fear should I have what men can do to me? It's only a temporal body anyway. Once I'm dead, I'm out of here. Come on, once I'm dead, I'm out of here. Some of y'all are wanting to go to heaven too quick. Stop. Slow down. I need you around for a little longer. What do you say we be filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Come on, what do you say we get full of the Holy Ghost? Come on, you want to be baptized all over again with the Holy Ghost? Come on, some of you that maybe it's been a while since you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's been a while since you spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Come on, I want to invite you. Don't kneel. You don't need to kneel. If you got something to repent over, just repent over. God, forgive me. I'm a bad dude. I've been messing up. I've been blowing into. I've been falling all over myself. I ain't done what's right with God. Here I am, right here, right now. And I want you to forgive me. I want you to wash me. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with this space right here, ladies. This is good space. This is all good ground right here, right here. This is all good ground. Come on. So, Pastor, this don't feel like one of them moving conviction type of messages. Oh no, you don't have to. It's all it has to be, son. We just need to get full of the Holy Ghost again. We just get full of Jesus all over again. We just get full of His Spirit. Hey, there's somebody that here, there's a few of us here that you may not have experienced the Holy Ghost for the very first time in your life, and you can receive it today because He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost. He wants to dwell on the inside of you. Come on, somebody, let's pray right now. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Come on. Let's pray together. Let's get full of the Holy Ghost here right now. Come on. Some of y'all have been struggling. And you're fighting with your flesh. Come on, you don't need to fight with that flesh any longer. Get full of the Holy Ghost. He'll give you power to overcome. You can't do it in your own self, but you can do it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I want you to be honest with yourself. How long has it been since you prayed through? How long has it been since you got full of the Spirit? How long has it been since God overwhelmed you with His glory and His power? Oh, come on. Let's get full of His Spirit today. Let's get full of His Spirit today.